Good morning. I would like to call the opening of the bids meeting to order. First order of business is letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the state of Louisiana from the Advocate Official Journal for the state of Louisiana and from respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 41354 through 41416 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. There were no letters of protest for today's lease sale, and there will be no recommendations to withdraw any of the tracts from today's sale, and we will proceed with the opening of the bids.
You ready, Mr.?
Let's go. Let's do it. Good morning. We received one bid on tract 41354, advertised as 133 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Gemini Explorations, Inc. Gemini Explorations, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $26,600. $26,600, or a per acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $13,300. $13,300. Royalties are 12.5%. We received four bids on tract 41355, advertised as 24 acres. The first bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Matador Resources Company. Matador Resources Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $374,736. $374,736, or a per acre value of $15,614. Annual rentals are $187,368. $187,368. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41355 is for the entire track. The bidder is Petrohawk Properties, L.P. Petrohawk Properties, L.P. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $240,168. $240,168, or a per acre value of $10,007. Annual rentals are $120,084. $120,084. Royalties are 25%. The third bid on track 41355 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $230,112. $230,112, or a per acre value of $9,588. Annual rentals are $115,056. $115,056. Royalties are 25%. The fourth bid on track 41355 is for the entire track. The bidder is Merlin Oil and Gas, Inc. Merlin Oil and Gas, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $477,072. $477,072. Or a per acre value of $19,878. Annual rentals are $238,536. $238,536. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41356, advertised as 57 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Axis Onshore LP. Axis Onshore LP. The bid is for a two-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,275. $4,275. Or a per acre value of $75. Annual rentals are $2,137.50. $2,137.50. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 41357, advertised as 76 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $22,917.04. $22,917.04. Or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $11,458.52. $11,458.52. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41358, advertised as 201 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $60,609.54. $60,609.54. Or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $30,304.77. $30,304.77. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41359, advertised as 91 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $27,440.14. $27,440.14. Or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $13,720.07. $13,720.07. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41360, advertised as 167 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $83,757.18. $83,757.18. Or a per acre value of $501.54. Annual rentals are $41,878.59. $41,878.59. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41361, advertised as 97 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $14,699.38. $14,699.38. Or a per acre value of $151.54. Annual rentals are $7,349.69. $7,349.69. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41362, advertised as 184 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $27,833.36. $27,833.36. Or a per acre value of $151.54. Annual rentals are $13,916.68. $13,916.68. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41363, advertised as 69 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $10,456.26. $10,456.26. Or a per acre value of $151.54. Annual rentals are $5,228.13. $5,228.13. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41364, advertised as 16 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Kilrush Oil, Inc. Kilrush Oil, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,800. $4,800. Or a per acre value of $300. Annual rentals are $2,400. $2,400. Royalties are 1/4. We received one bid on track 41365, advertised as 931 acres. And the bid is for a portion containing 24 acres. The bidder is Davis Petroleum Corp. Davis Petroleum Corp. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $14,400. $14,400. Or a per acre value of $600. Annual rentals are $14,400. $14,400. Royalties are 20.5%. We received one bid on track 41366, advertised as 481.39 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 414.79 acres. The bidder is El Paso E&P Company, L.P. El Paso E&P Company, L.P. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $208,759.66. $208,759.66, or a per acre value of $503.29. Annual rentals are $104,379.83. $104,379.83. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on the following tracks: 41367, 68, 69, or 70. We did receive one bid on track 41371, advertised as 2,286.86 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 407.43 acres. The bidder is El Paso E&P Company, L.P. El Paso E&P Company, L.P. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $205,821.42. $205,821.42, or a per acre value of $505.17. Annual rentals are $102,910.71. $102,910.71. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41372. Advertised as 1,570 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 18.9 acres. The bidder is El Paso E&P Company, L.P. El Paso E&P Company, L.P. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $9,481.94. $9,481.94, or a per acre value of $501.69. Annual rentals are $4,740.97. $4,740.97. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on the following tracks: 41373, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, or 80. We did receive one bid on track 41381, advertised as 8.21 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $56,378.07. $56,378.07. Or a per acre value of $6,867. Annual rentals are $28,189.04. $28,189.04. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41382, advertised as 67.534 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum Inc. Classic Petroleum Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $463,755.98. $463,755.98, or a per acre value of 6,867 acres. Annual rentals are $231,877.99. $231,877.99. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41383, advertised as 87.598 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum Inc. Classic Petroleum Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $834,984.14. $834,984.14, or a per acre value of $9,532. Annual rentals are $417,492.07. $417,492.07. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on track 41384. We did receive two bids on track 41385, advertised as 35.8 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Questar Exploration and Production Company. Questar Exploration and Production Company. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $260,337.60. $260,337.60. Or a per acre value of $7,272. Annual rentals are $130,168.80. $130,168.80. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41385 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum Inc. Classic Petroleum Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $371,926.20. $371,926.20. Or a per acre value of $10,389. Annual rentals are $185,963.10. $185,963.10. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41386, advertised as 0.284 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Questar Exploration and Production Company. Questar Exploration and Production Company. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $2,065.25. $2,065.25. Or a per acre value of $7,272. Annual rentals are $1,032.62. $1,032.62. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41386 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,457.77. $1,457.77. Or a per acre value of $5,133. Annual rentals are $728.89. $728.89. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41387, advertised as 17.885 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Questar Exploration and Production Company. Questar Exploration and Production Company. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $130,059.72. $130,059.72. Or a per acre value of $7,272. Annual rentals are $65,029.86. $65,029.86. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41387 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $137,625.08. $137,625.08, or a per acre value of $7,695. Annual rentals are $68,812.54. $68,812.54. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41388, advertised as 1.48 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Questar Exploration and Production Company. Questar Exploration and Production Company. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $10,762.56. $10,762.56, or a per acre value of $7,272. Annual rentals are $5,381.28. $5,381.28. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41388 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,042.76. $12,042.76. Or a per acre value of $8,137. Annual rentals are $6,021.38. $6,021.38. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41389, advertised as 10.97 acres, and the first bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Questar Exploration and Production Company. Questar Exploration and Production Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $79,773.84. $79,773.84, or a per acre value of $7,272. Annual rentals are $39,886.92. $39,886.92. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41389 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $89,262.89. $89,262.89. Or a per acre value of $8,137. Annual rentals are $44,631.45. $44,631.45. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41390, advertised as 7.22 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Questar Exploration and Production Company. Questar Exploration and Production Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $52,503.84. $52,503.84, or a per acre value of $7,272. Annual rentals are $26,251.92. $26,251.92. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41390 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $48,337.90. $48,337.90. Or a per acre value of $6,695. Annual rentals are $24,168.95. $24,168.95. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41391, advertised as 2.23 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Questar Exploration and Production Company. Questar Exploration and Production Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $16,216.56. $16,216.56, or a per acre value of $7,272. Annual rentals are $8,108.28. $8,108.28. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41391 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $19,166.85. $19,166.85. Or a per acre value of $8,595. Annual rentals are $9,583.85. $9,583.43. $9,583.43. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41392, advertised as 1.22 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Questar Exploration and Production Company. Questar Exploration and Production Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $8,871.84. $8,871.84, or a per acre value of $7,272. Annual rentals are $4,435.92. $4,435.92. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41392 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $6,262.26. $6,262.26. Or a per acre value of $5,133. Annual rentals are $3,131.13. $3,131.13. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41393. Advertised as 1.01 acres. The first track is for the entire, the first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Questar Exploration and Production Company. Questar Exploration and Production Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $7,344.72. $7,344.72, or a per acre value of $7,272. Annual rentals are $3,672.36. $3,672.36. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41393 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $8,680.95. $8,680.95. Or a per acre value of $8,595. Annual rentals are $4,340.48. $4,340.48. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41394, advertised as 10.38 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Questar Exploration and Production Company. Questar Exploration and Production Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $75,483.36. $75,483.36. Or a per acre value of $7,272. Annual rentals are $25,161.12. $25,161.12. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41394 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $53,280.54. $53,280.54. Or a per acre value of $5,133. Annual rentals are $26,640.27. $26,640.27. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41395, advertised as 1.2 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Questar Exploration and Production Company. Questar Exploration and Production Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $8,726.40. $8,726.40. Or a per acre value of $7,272. Annual rentals are $4,363.20. $4,363.20. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41395 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum Inc. Classic Petroleum Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $10,314. $10,314. Or a per acre value of $8,595. Annual rentals are $5,157. $5,157. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41396, advertised as 7.42 acres, and the bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Texas Petroleum Investment Company. Texas Petroleum Investment Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,862.42. $1,862.42, or a per acre value of $251. Annual rentals are $931.21. $931.21. Royalties are 23%. We received one bid on track 41397, advertised as 12 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Suncoast Land Services, Inc. Suncoast Land Services, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,800. $4,800. Or a per acre value of $400. Annual rentals are $2,400. $2,400. Royalties are 26%. We received one bid on track 41398, advertised as 28 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Suncoast Land Services, Inc. Suncoast Land Services, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $11,200. $11,200. Or a per acre value of $400. Annual rentals are $5,600. $5,600. Royalties are 26%. We received one bid on track 41399, advertised as 20 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Prop Properties, Inc., Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $6,030.80. $6,030.80, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $3,015.40. $3,015.40. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41400, advertised as 80 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $24,123.20. $24,123.20, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $12,061.60. $12,061.60. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41401, advertised as 10 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,015.40. $3,015.40, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $1,507.70. $1,507.70. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41402, advertised as 12 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,618.48. $3,618.48, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $1,809.24. $1,809.24. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41403, advertised as 40 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,061.60. $12,061.60, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $6,030.80. $6,030.80. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41404, advertised as 10 acres. And the bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,015.40. $3,015.40, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $1,507.70. $1,507.70. royalties of 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41405, advertised as 20 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $6,030.80. $6,030.80, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $3,015.40. $3,015.40. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41406, advertised as 18.5 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $5,578.49. $5,578.49, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $2,789.25. $2,789.25. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41407, advertised as 20 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $6,030.80. $6,030.80, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $3,015.40. $3,015.40. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41408, advertised as 40 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,061.60. $12,061.60, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $6,030.80. $6,030.80. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41409, advertised as 40 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,061.60. $12,061.60, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $6,030.80. $6,030.80. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41410, advertised as 20 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $6,030.80. $6,030.80, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $3,015.40. $3,015.40. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41411, advertised as 40 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $20,061.60. $20,061.60, or a per acre value of $501.54. Annual rentals are $10,030.80. $10,030.80. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41412, advertised as 20 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,030.80. $3,030.80, or a per acre value of $151.54. Annual rentals are $1,515.40. $1,515.40. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41413, advertised as 10 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,015.40. $3,015.40, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $1,507.70. $1,507.70. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41414, advertised as 10 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,015.40. $3,015.40, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $1,507.70. $1,507.70. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41415, advertised as 40.36 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,170.15. $12,170.15, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $6,085.08. $6,085.08. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 41416, advertised as 40 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Basin Properties, Inc. Basin Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,061.60. $12,061.60, or a per acre value of $301.54. Annual rentals are $30.80. $6,030.80. Royalties are 22.5%. And that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
We'll adjourn the opening of the bids meeting. The committee meeting should begin after a short break. Thank you.
Number 17, Bay Deschene Field, Swift Energy Operating is the lessee. The committee last reviewed this lease on April 8, 2009. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept their report, accept Swift's report, and to grant them until March 10, 2010 to submit an update on activities affecting this lease. Swift submitted an update by letter of March 4, 2010. 2010, and it's Swift summarized their 2009 well completions, recompletions, P&As, post-hurricane rebuilding efforts, and the completion of a new PSDM seismic reprocessing. For 2010, they have 2 to 5 potential new drill opportunities pending acceptable commodity prices. Staff recommends that Hillcorp Swift, submit a specific plan of development for the non-productive portion of State Lease 1217 by October 13, 2010. State Leases 3306 and 4011, Redfish Point Field. Hillcorp Energy is the lessee. The committee last reviewed these leases on December the 9th, 2009. Concerning State Lease 3306, the board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Hillcorp until March the 10th, 2010 to commence operations to restore at least one inactive well to production or to commit to the drilling of a new well on or affecting this lease, or in lieu thereof release all of the non-producing acreage, which is defined as the 913 acres outside of the 15,500-foot RA sand unit and the NRA sand unit A. If Hillcorp commits to the drilling of a new well, the well must be spud on or before September the 8th, 2010, or release of all the non-producing acreage is due. Concerning State Lease 4011, Hillcorp was granted until March 10, 2010, to commit to the drilling of a new well on or affecting non-producing acreage on this lease, or release all of the non-producing acreage, which is defined as the 1,278 acres outside of the 15,500-foot RA sand unit and the NRA sand unit A. If Hillcorp commits to the drilling of this well, the well must be spud on or before September 8, 2010, or release of all the non-productive acreage is due. What's happened is none of this happened. No committals, no proceeding on restoring production to an inactive well. The district geologist, Jason Talbot, called a representative at Hillcorp, and they wished to schedule a meeting with the staff to explain what's going on out here. So I hope we'll have a productive meeting and get what we want out of them and let them understand what's going on. They haven't done anything on these leases in the 5 years they've had them. They may have reworked a well, but no new wells have been drilled. So we're going to have a talk with them. So they are to schedule a meeting with the staff to occur no later than June the 9th, 2010 to discuss a specific plan of development for the non-productive state lease acreage in Redfish Point on state leases 3306 and 4011.
What's the deadline, please, sir?
Schedule a meeting no later than June the 9th.
Thank you.
Was it 2 months? So that concludes the lease details, and we have Mr. Bradbury's force majeure report. Looks like the numbers are dwindling down, and that's all we have. We ask that the committee approve our report and recommendations.
Thank you, Sanders. I move that we approve the recommendations of staff.
It's been moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Morton. I do have one question.
Yes.
Item 2, State Lease 1217.
Yes.
There's a caveat for production upon acceptable commodity pricing. But was, did it give you a level?
That was their statement. Gas, you know, a lot of these companies, if the prices aren't right, they can't drill a well. So I don't know what that means. That's why we asked them to submit a specific plan, which means they are to tell us when and where they're going to drill a well.
Or release.
If we aren't satisfied with that, then we put we go into the demand stage of asking for a release of all the non-productive acres. They've had some bad luck out here. When they first got the lease, they drilled a lot of good wells, and then they have added some of the previously non-productive acreage to it. They've drilled on the perimeter of the fields of the lease and brought in some new wells, but I don't know what happened. They had a bad string of dry holes and bad luck out here. So maybe their seismic was messed up. They did, as you saw, heard in my report, they reprocessed the seismic. So maybe they felt they had a problem with that. So.
Okay. Thank you, sir. It's been moved and seconded. Any opposition? Hearing none, the motion carries. I need a motion to adjourn, please.
Same.
Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Morton. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks, Greg. I'd like to call the Order of Nomination Track Committee meeting. The first order of business here from Mr. Fontenot and the staff reports.
Morning, Mr. Arnold, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
Previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 63 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parish where the lands are located for today's lease sale. We received 64 bids that we opened previous that were on 50 tracts. 49 nominations were received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the June 9th, 2010 lease sale and are pending approval by the board for advertising. The staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at the office for the June 9th. 2010 lease sale.
You've heard the staff's recommendation. You have a motion to accept that?
Sanders, move.
Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Morton. Any further questions or comments? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. I believe that's it.
That's correct.
That's good. Motion to adjourn. Nomination and track committee.
Sanders.
Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Morton. Anyone opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Newman.
Good morning.
I'd like to go ahead and call the Honor Committee meeting to order, please. And hear the staff report.
Item number one on the audit agenda is a penalty waiver request from Harvest Group LLC for a penalty in the amount of $64,149.49 for late payment of royalty. On August 15, 2008, Harvest Group paid the state a total of $239,048.65 in late royalty for the disposition dates of October 2006 through January of 2007. Royalty was outstanding for less than 2 years and was not related to a field audit. Harvest had reorganized post-bankruptcy and is currently on a payment plan for audit claims. Harvest has paid the first two monthly payments timely. Harvest Group LLC has paid $32,489.72 in interest charges. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, the staff recommends a 75% penalty waiver because royalty was outstanding for less than 2 years. The amount of the reduction would be $48,112.12, with a balance of $16,037.37 owed the state.
You have a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Sanders moved to accept it.
Motion by Sanders, second by Mr. Borton. Any questions? I have one question. So Harvest is on a payment plan for the...
For an audit claim.
Not for this claim.
No, this was separate. This was on royalty payments. They're under a payment plan for the audit, and they have made the first two timely. I don't know if y'all recall, but this was a few months back when we approved the payment plan.
Any further questions or comments? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you.
Item number two is a penalty waiver request from Harvest Oil and Gas, LLC, for a penalty in the amount of $18,576.01 for late payment of royalty. On August 15, 2008, Harvest Group paid the state a total of $69,222.21 in late royalty for the disposition date of January 2007. Royalty was outstanding for less than 2 years and was not related to a field audit. Harvest had reorganized post-bankruptcy and is currently on the payment plan for audit claims. They've paid the first 2 months' payments timely. Harvest Group has paid $9,408.17 in interest. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, staff is recommending a 75% waiver because royalty was outstanding less than 2 years. The amount of the reduction would be $13,932.01, with a balance of $4,644 owed the state.
Thank you. Our staff report.
Sanders moves to accept staff recommendation.
Moved by Mr. Sanders. Second by Mr. Morton. Any further comments or questions? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number three is a recoupment request from McMoran Oil and Gas, LLC, for an overpayment in the amount of $68,408.56. State lease numbers involved are 18584, 18585, 18586, and 18587. For May and June 2008, McMoran paid royalty based on incorrect volumes and values, which resulted in an overpayment of gas royalties. Staff has reviewed the documentation and confirmed the overpayment and recommends that McMoran Oil and Gas, LLC, is allowed to recoup this overpayment from future royalties.
You've heard staff's recommendation. Moved by Sanders to accept. Second by Mr. Morton. Any further comments or questions? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number four is a recoupment request from Union Oil Company of California for an overpayment in the amount of $379,350.12. The state lease number involved is 18640. For the sales months of May, June, July, August, October, and November 2008, Unocal paid royalty under an incorrect state decimal, which resulted in an overpayment of gas royalties. Staff has reviewed the documentation and confirmed the overpayment and recommends that Union Oil Company of California is allowed to recoup this overpayment from future royalties.
You've heard staff's recommendation. Moved by Mr. Sanders. Second by Mr. Moore. Any further comments or questions? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number five is the staff report to the committee that the election for April 2010 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery plant at LaRose and the C. Robin plant at Henry per the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement.
Thank you.
Item number six is a discussion and executive session of the settlement offer from Kerr McGee Oil and Gas Corporation on a royalty audit demand. Kerr McGee Oil and Gas Corporation was placed on formal demand by the State Mineral and Energy Board on May 13, 2009 for non-payment of royalties, interest, and penalties.
Can I motion to go to executive session to discuss?
Move.
By Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Morton. Anyone opposed? We're in executive session.
Well, Fred Gibson is because he just.
Thank you.
like to accept the motion to come out of executive session. Move by Ms. Smith, we're out of executive session. Second by Mr. Cordero. Anyone opposed here? No, we're out of executive session. I believe we have a motion originating from our executive session discussion.
Sanders, please, I move that we accept staff's recommendation concerning the settlement offer of Kerr McGee, subject to memorialization by agreement.
Mr. Sanders, may I motion to accept the offer from Kerr McGee? Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Segura. Any further discussion? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion is accepted. Ms. Rachel, is that it?
That concludes the audit agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rachel.
Motion to adjourn, please. Move by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Segura. Anyone opposed? Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Sanders, you're up.
I am, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Heck.
Good morning, Ms. Sanders, ladies and gentlemen.
Called to order the Legal and Title Controversy Committee.
Okay, are y'all ready for number one?
Yes, sir, we are.
Okay. Item number one is a request by MIT Energy Upstream LLC for a waiver of all or a portion of liquidated damage. Actually, it's a penalty for a late assignment for 10 different leases. The maximum, according to the statute, is it's $100 a day up to a maximum of $1,000 per lease. The assignment was 11 days late. So it is a maximum of $1,000 each times 10 is $10,000. Now, we use the same objective criteria for these as we use for the liquidated damage assessment for late release. This is a first-time appearance before the board for MIT Energy. The circumstances of the late assignments were the assignments themselves were signed and dated prior to the actual, as I understand it, closing. And so as they were being passed back and forth, got dropped through the cracks until after the signing was done, but it had already been dated, so that's why it's 11 days late, because we count it from the date of the last signatory party. Because this is a first-time offense for MIT Energy Upstream, the staff would recommend that the entirety of the penalty assessment be waived.
Any questions?
Second.
Any questions? Any discussion? Motion carries.
Thank you. Item number two is a request by Cohort Energy Company for a waiver of all or a portion of liquidated damage assessment in the amount of $91,600 levied for a late release of State Lease 17732. There are some particular circumstances. As you can understand, $91,600 means that this was released 916 days late, which is almost 3 years, about two and three quarter years. This is a company that has had a number of offenses, if you will, in the past, 8 to be exact. And starting back, I think the first one started back in of 96 was the first one. If the board, and there are extenuating circumstances on this as well, but let me go through this. If the board used objective criteria, again, this is not the first offense, but if they used objective criteria to reduce the bonus for this lease was $21,000, so it would be a reduction to the amount of the bonus plus the acreage release late was 43% of the entirety of the lease. So it would be further reduced. The amount would be $8,999.99. The problem is that this release, there were circumstances surrounding this release that the staff continually dealt with Cohort to get this release done. We even provided, our staff even provided the description for the release, which for some reason was not, you know, did not get on the release. The problem with this area is this is in the Haynesville Shale. Mm-hmm. We had a track at this lease sale that is adjacent to it, kind of catacorner to it, and the top bid on that, I think, was $15,000 an acre. But if this had been released timely 2.5 years ago, when the prices of the Haynesville shale leases were up in the $20,000-something per acre, there's a possibility that this could have been released. So the staff, the G&E staff, is recommending no reduction. There is somebody here to speak for Cohort, so you can certainly question him under the circumstances. But as of now, according to the staff does not recommend a reduction.
And with no reduction, the amount is the $91,000.
$91,600. There's, again, Mr. Nurnberger.
Good morning, sir. Welcome. I'm Tom Sanders. Would you state your name for the record, please, sir?
My name is Kurt Nurnberger. I'm one of the North Louisiana land managers for Cohort Energy.
Thank you. Proceed, sir.
A little quick background. This was a 2003 lease with a 3-year primary term. It was purchased by Jerry Huddleston, who within 6 months turned it to Sampson. In early 2005, Cohort purchased the lease from Sampson as part of a larger package of lease purchases in what we call the Loggy Bayou area. Unfortunately, at about the same time that we bought Sampson's interest in that area, Sampson was also selling scraps of leases to Petrochem in the same area. Some confusion resulted between Sampson and Petrochem as to who actually owned State Lease 17732. This confusion actually continued on down through really the summer of 2009, at which point, after loads of emails, phone calls back and forth between Sampson, Petrochem, Cohort, and staffers at the state, I think everybody finally was on the same page, which was that as a result of our purchase, that Cohort owned all of 17732 except for Section 28 of 1611, which is what Sampson owned. I think some of that confusion can be seen in Sunrise if you look at the various resolutions that the board approved with Sampson's releases and corrections of releases and whatnot. It was confusing, and the embarrassing part of this is that I'm basically saying we blundered. We were confused. The best thing I can say is that the operators of the units that were holding the acreage that we owned appeared to be even more confused than we were, and I'm still not sure of the exact cause for that confusion. I'd like to think that Petrochem and Sampson are now fully on board and understanding, you know, who has what. We did, in fact, finally issue a release and record it on November 19 of last year. And I come up with a slightly different figure when I count days on my fingers, but we won't quarrel about that at this point. Basically, I am asking that the board approve the reduction to the $9,000 liquidated damage assessment based on the objective criteria. I'll be glad to answer any questions you have.
Ms. Smith, Chair recognizes Ms. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. I'm not clear exactly what you're requesting. Could you verbalize that for us? You said a reduction Of 9,000?
Correct. The
to 9,000?
Correct. Well, let's be exact, $8,999.99, so it's one penny short of $9,000.
Okay.
If you use the standard objective criteria based on the original bonus amount of $21,000 times late released acreage, which was roughly 60 acres, divided by the 140 acres, which was the original leased acres, it comes out to a little shy of $9,000. If you use the calculation where you use the days late times the other factors, that's when you get the $91,600 that Mr. Heck was speaking of. So that's what I'm requesting, is the reduction through the use of the objective criteria.
Ms. Bonnell?
More of a question to staff. Obviously, it's $1,000 a day. That's a penalty, correct?
$100 a day.
$100 a day. So it would be $916,000. We're going to make on that. So $100 a day comes to $91,600.
Right.
And this, Mr. Barenberger?
Nierenberger, yes.
Is sent is a different date of release? You sent us two different dates? You had another?
The date, well, it's, from my understanding, it's the recordation date of the release that stops the penalty from running, and that was November 19th of 09.
And that was the one that didn't have the proper documentation on it that we had to fix?
Well, as of now, it has a description, but that description is being corrected as we speak. But it was recorded. That stopped the running of $100 a day. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And the beginning of the $100 a day runs from 90 days after the termination of the lease. You have 90 days from the termination of the lease to record a release. On the 91st day, the $100 a day liquidated damage assessment begins. So we counted it from the day the lease. I think probably the difference is going to be when they determine the lease was terminated, to begin that 90-day period. What we calculated was 916 days from the date, the 91st day, to the day it was recorded.
And objective criteria is?
The objective criteria, yes.
It's based on a certain criteria we set forth.
Correct. The objective criteria is based upon the fact that if you went to court and fought a case like this, these particular things are deemed to be like a penalty. It's not a penalty, but it's deemed like a penalty. And when you have a penalty part in a suit like this, the courts want to look at what your actual damages were, what your damages were when you do this, so that the penalty is not really exceeding the amount of the actual damages. In most cases, the bonus that was paid for the lease would be something we could expect to get for the lease if it had been released timely. The reason the objective criteria may not apply here is because when that lease was originally given, the Haynesville Shale was not in its bloom, and so the bonus paid for it was a good bit less than what the Haynesville Shale bonuses were beginning in about 2008, and even now, again.
And that's to protect the state's interest, I'm assuming, right?
That's correct. The
property is worth more value.
That's correct. So to use the bonus as the top end of the liquidated damage assessment may not be accurate when you consider what those bonuses would be getting now if it had been released timely. That's the only reason we say that the objective criteria is not necessarily binding. In general, it works because in most areas, the bonuses would be about the same. In the Haynesville Shale, it blew it all out of proportion from what they were before the big boom. So that particular assessment criteria may not hold when you have a lease like this one.
Ms. Brown?
Go ahead.
I'm Ms. Smith.
Yeah.
I'm Tarman.
How many total acres are we talking about in the late release?
The late release was what? The original lease, I think, was 140 acres. And the late released acreage was, you had it. It was 60 acres, I think, was released late.
Yeah.
Something like that.
50?
60.
60?
Correct.
Thank you.
an average acre now is going for, just last month, 15,000 acres?
This month.
The bonus? This month.
The highest bid, I think, on a tract adjacent to it was $15,000 an acre. But it, all of the bids on that tract, I think they had four bids on that tract. I think the lowest one was $6,000 or $7,000 an acre.
And this is cohort's ninth infraction?
Well, they have had eight previous.
This would be ninth?
Correct.
And go back to cohort.
Let me.
And your biggest thing is, and you didn't know you owned it.
I'm sorry?
Y'all didn't know that y'all actually owned the property, correct?
We knew we owned some of it. How much we owned was a question. And whether we owned it in a complete 100% manner, as ultimately we determined we did, or whether Samson or Petrochem had an undivided interest in the lease was somewhat at issue. They seemed to felt like they did. And it took us a while to convince them that they didn't. On a separate issue, I would propose that I come up with 712 days. And the way I do this is this. Cohort paid a deferred development payment in December of 2005 that extended the non-HBP part of the lease until February of 07. So even though the normal expiration of the primary term of this lease would have been in February of 06, this payment extended it till February of 07. So the acreage that we recently released, I guess you could say, expired in February of 07. So if you add 90 days to February of 07, you come up to roughly May 17 of 07. So if I count from May 17, 07 to the recordation date of the release, November 19 of 09, I come up with 712 days. I'll admit to being mathematically challenged, but I think that's right.
Could you share with me, is there other leasing, is there other activity going on in the part that of this lease that you are not releasing? Are you all doing any drilling?
Well, again, and that was probably the reason for some of the confusion among the companies here. We never had occasion to drill this lease. All the acreage that's currently being held is being held by wells and units operated by other companies, primarily Petrochem and Samson. So that type of situation can induce a little confusion in company files sometimes, particularly since Petrochem and Samson files appear to be different than ours on exactly what was owned. So, no, we never did drill any wells in this area. We began to think once we got it that, frankly, we weren't quite as pleased with it as we were when we bought it. It was primarily purchased for Hoston Cotton Valley, lower Cotton Valley purposes, and we didn't see that as being quite as prospective after we came to look at it more closely.
My question is, are you generating income at all from lease in any way,
we're
whether
not.
It's royalties or what?
No.
No.
Mr. Arnold?
I'm trying to be fair to both the state and to business. Obviously, the shale area is worth a lot more now than it was when you originally took it over.
Clearly.
The state obviously can generate a lot more revenue now. By your admission, you were 712 days late. I have no problem making a motion to accept $71,200 as a settlement. $71,200, which is 712 days late that he admitted that they were not agreeing with his dates. But give some kind
of
between the two. I'm not saying he's right, but that's a number that he brought up. That's my motion.
Do I hear a second? Hearing no second, the motion dies.
I'd like to make a motion to reduce.
Chair recognized Mr. Ingram.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sam.
Thank you,
I'd
Mr.
like
Ingram.
To make a motion to reduce the penalty down to the eighth. was it $8,999?
Right. Yes.
Chair, you're a second? No second?
No, I'll second that because it's, that seems reasonable.
Second. We're open for discussion. Any discussion?
Discussion or comments? I'm not sure which one it'd be. Ms. Ingram, I understand we're trying to be very business friendly, but having this property out of state, our ability to actually sell it or lease it has cost the state, you know, obviously numerous dollars, an opportunity to sell it at top dollar 3 years ago. Cohort has done this 8 previous times. I understand they had some troubles, but I can't justify giving them such a drastic reduction down to 10%.
Every time we have a meeting here, some one of these issues comes up, I raise the issue that in my private business, I don't like to make money by penalizing people that I work with. And this is, we're not talking about serving hamburgers or something here. What we're dealing with is something pretty complex, and I mean, there's a lot of property involved in a lot of other companies. And I just think that it's something that they need to be cognizant.
I agree with you, which I was trying to struggle to give some kind of help to them, but I'm not sure what that number should be.
It might help me to understand, Mr. Heck, what types of infractions have we had with Cohort in the past? Were they similar to this?
You had both late release and late assignment. Let's see. The first infraction was November of 96. It was a late release, billed as $33,400, and there was a complete waiver of that one. The second and third infractions were late assignments, billed in July of 97. The first was $10,600, the second was another $2,800, and there was a complete waiver of both of those. This was before the maximum amount was reduced to $1,000 by statutory. Four and five infractions were late releases billed in March of 2007. Both were in the amount of $7,000 and both were paid in full. The sixth infraction was a late release bill February of 2008 in the amount of $24,200. The board reduced it to $5,274.58 based upon the objective criteria, and the amount was paid by Cohort in October of 2009. The seventh infraction was a late release billed in June of 2008 in the amount of $59,700. The board reduced it to $56,118, and that amount was paid by Cohort. The eighth infraction was a late release billed in June of 2009 in the amount of $51,100. The board reduced it to $25,375.30. And that amount was paid by Cohort. So they have paid at least $100,000 in penalty, and maybe a little bit more than that over the for those last infractions.
I guess my thought process is go to intent, and I don't see that there was any intent in this situation. I think that it was purely circumstantial, and many of those circumstances appear to be out of their control, which causes me to lean toward leniency as it relates to the decision. So.
Thank you, Mr.
Rick, you said that the staff worked with Cohort during this process to,
right.
Can you elaborate on
that? The problem was getting the right description for the acres released, because you had two units that were on the corners of this property that were being held by production. One of them was operated by Sampson, and the other one, I forget who the other one was operated by, it may have been Cohort. But the problem was getting the description to match or to keep the producing acreage out of the release. And the reason for that was because the units are by sections, and Cohort wanted to do the release by XYs. Well, the XYs don't necessarily match up with the corners of the sections or the units for that matter. So we were trying to give them a description that would allow them to not use XY coordinates, but to use the sections and the boundaries of the unit by doing approximations to the unit line, that kind of stuff. That would be acceptable to us and to anybody doing title on it, because if you or adhering to using XY coordinates, and you find that the section lines are not exactly where the XY coordinates put them, then you have a problem with title later on as to who is entitled to production from those units. Whenever we did this, we kept getting back a description that had either XY coordinates or definite distances to the lines. And so this is where the problem was. We even wrote up the description that we would accept and sent it to Cohort. And when they did the release, it didn't have that description in it. And they sent it to us to look over, and we said, well, why didn't you use the description that we gave you? And they, I don't know what the thing was. Our GIS guy was working with them to try to do it. Well, they finally did record a release, but it still had some errors in it, and so they're working on those errors now to get it to where it's a correct description. But we stopped the liquidated damage assessment as of the date it was recorded. So, I mean, we're trying to do what we can to get this described. And I can understand what the problems that Cohort had. I mean, I'm not bashing Cohort. It's just that I don't know why they did not accept the description that we wrote for them and gave them to put in the release that we said we would accept. Because we wanted to make sure that when the property surrounding that was, or when, if we wanted to lease that area again, we were sure that what was released was actually acreage that was covering that area. And that was the problem.
And your response to that?
Are you sure that wasn't Petrochem y'all were dealing with?
Mm-mm. It was the guy that actually was the person that you directed us to.
Was this Ron Deku?
You'd have to talk to Louis, but it was the guy that you directed him.
Yeah, that would have been Ron. This is a case of complete miscommunication, because that's the first I heard. I thought that Ron was doing it the way the state approved it to be done. You know, we ourselves kind of wondered why we didn't drop off of the XY, why Stelly continued to use XYs instead of using either sectional or unit boundaries, because it is more clear. But we were under the impression that that was the proper way to do it. So yet more confusion. Our surveyor apparently didn't communicate what the state wanted to us.
And I'll say this, for most instances, XYs are used because the lease itself is given in XYs and the units themselves have descriptions. The problem is in the Haynesville Shale and those areas up there where the commissioner puts units, he puts it as a section. And so it's got a section number. It doesn't have any XY coordinates because those sections you can't really put XYs on those sections because you don't know where they are. So in those instances where the units themselves are not XY described, when you do a release, we ask the people to do in the release to go to the unit lines and then meander the unit lines so that we know we're at least hitting the units and excluding the units. If you use an XY and you stick it there, that XY may be inside of the unit. And so you're actually releasing acreage inside of a unit. In their case, they don't even own it. So that's why we didn't go with XYs in this particular case.
We have two that desire to speak. Mr. Segur, I've got you over here. Mr. Ingram, just a second, please. Mr. Segur.
Rick, when did you receive the so-said description?
Well, when the demand was made, I mean, we've been working on the description for this for over 2 years. So off and on for 2 years, we've been going back and forth to get this description so that the release could be filed. And I will admit, as Ms. Nuremberg said, we had problems with Samson as well as Petrochem, because all of these agents, well, first of all, when we first started asking for the release and everything, we were told that they didn't own it, that Samson owned it or Petrochem owned it. So we contacted Petrochem and they said, no, we don't own it. And then Samson said, no, we don't own it. We only own that unit. And so it went back to Cohort. And so that was the thing. But the release, our records, let's put it this way, our records showed that Cohort owned it based upon what we had in our files.
And when did you send your description?
We did it more than once. That's what I'm saying. This went back and forth.
But originally?
Oh, I don't know. I can't say. It would have to be over a year ago, because that's when we first were doing it.
Anything else, Mr. Gurr?
Yeah, but no.
Ms. Ingram? I have Ms. Ingram and then Ms. Smith.
I think it's clear to everybody that, regardless of what happened to Cohart's penalization in the past, I think in this issue it's clear that, this was just a breakdown of communication. It wasn't anything done intentionally, and, again, I think we send a bad message if, we penalize these people over something that was and I think maybe some of the blame might lean on the state too.
But is
Ms.
it?
Well, Ms. Smith is next in line.
You may go ahead. I'll defer to you.
Go ahead. She defers to you, Ms.
But is it a penalty, or, is it a confusion if you continually have to tell them?
Well, like, I think he even said that they had conversations back and forth that one company said they didn't own it, another one said they didn't own it.
The chair has a question.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Heck.
Yes,
when
sir.
Did the state transmit to Cohart the description that we contended the state owned?
Shortly before they actually filed a release, which was what?
They say they filed it on November the 19th.
In November the 19th of 09.
Now, was that whatever description we gave them, they did not place in that release. They used something else?
Well, they used most of it. Let's put it that way. They used most of the description, but yeah, there was still a problem. The problem was that they did not recognize when the unit was done, there was a little hitch in the unit that leaves a gap with the section line, and so they did not account for that little hitch when they did the description. That is being done now. In other words, we're preparing, or we're conferring with them to fix that little hitch. But the release that they filed in November had most of the corrections that, or the way we did the released acreage.
No, just so there's no misunderstanding, I'm not questioning you.
No, I understand.
State activities, nor am I questioning Cohart's representative, their integrity, anything else. But somewhere along the way, there must be a methodology to resolve a dispute as to who owns what land that the state has an interest in.
We never had a dispute as to who owned it. We always thought Cohart owned it.
Okay.
What we did was, what happened when we first notified Cohart, Cohart didn't know whether they owned it or not, but our records show they did. They said Sampson owned it, so we called Sampson to find out and said, according to our records, Cohart owns this. Well, Sampson took a while, of course, to respond, as they always do, and when it came back, it said, no, we don't own it. So Sampson didn't own it. And then we were told that Petrochem owned it, so we called Petrochem, and Petrochem said eventually that they didn't own it, because our records have always showed that Cohart owned it. That's who our communication with was with, to establish and to get the release.
Well, whenever there's a, we always contended that we are accurate and that we owned it. Did they dispute that?
That the state owned it?
Yes, sir.
No, uh-uh. There was no dispute that the state owned it. There was a dispute as to who the lessee was.
Mm-hmm.
We have as a lessee Cohart of record as the latest lessee.
Well, whose responsibility is it, other than ours, on operating on behalf of the state? Whose responsibility is it? Where does that responsibility fall?
It's got to fall on the lessee when they transfer interests. In other words, Cohart wasn't the original lessee.
I understand that.
So when it falls on our lessees, Sampson and then Petrochem, when they do the assignments to other, like Cohart, it's up to them to establish what is actually transferred. That's why our records showed that it was Cohart that ended up with the lease.
Did anybody ever challenge that they were not, that they weren't the owner?
Cohart did.
They said they weren't the owner?
Well, they said they didn't think they were the owners of it, even though our records showed that they were the owners, and that was the problem.
Did we present them evidence that...
Sure, we had the assignment.
All right, sir.
The assignment that gave them the interest. The problem was is that they weren't sure which, as to what we were told, is that they weren't sure what part of that lease they owned, because not all of that lease that was, because Sampson kept
what was productive acreage in a unit. They were transferring what was outside of the unit. So they weren't sure what part of it, Cohart wasn't sure what part of it they owned.
You know, for the benefit of the public and the record here, the board is charged with protecting the interest of the state. That's what we're here for.
Correct.
And we're not here to punish folks or things like that. We have to enforce the rules we have, live by the statutes that govern our conduct, and try to come up with a reasonable resolution when there is a controversy, such as we have here today. And that's what this discussion is about. It's not personal at all.
Oh, no.
No.
I want to have full discussion. If anybody else wants to discuss it, before we call for a vote on Mr. Ingram's motion.
I have one other question.
Ms. Smith?
When did you know, sure enough, that you owned this? What gave you the clarity that you actually owned this portion of the lease?
I would say it was summer of last year, because by that time we had enough back and forth with Petrochem, Samson, and the state to realize that we indeed owned all the lease except for Section 28 of 1611, which is what Samson retained when they assigned to us. So I would say, yeah, sometime during the summer of last year, maybe July, August, something like that.
So you knew sure then, but you did not file the release. Could you help me to understand maybe why that didn't happen immediately?
Well, we had, as Mr. Heck has already alluded to, we had some problems with describing. Now that we determined what we had and what we owed the state by way of release, typically companies in our situation hire an outside surveyor who are experienced in that area of the world to describe these things accurately for us. And so it turned out it wasn't quite the easy description we had hoped for. So there was a little back and forth there that ate up some time.
And you received that in November of 2009, if I understood Mr. Heck's response.
That's when it was recorded.
Recorded.
Correct.
But
which is what stops the running of the $100 a day.
Absolutely. But you gave him the description a little bit before it was actually recorded.
We gave him the acceptable description before that date, yes.
Okay.
Right, and keep in mind that Mr. Tomento was dealing with our surveyor who didn't pass this along to us. He apparently put it in his description as best he could by way of plat and textual description, which is the typical way to do it, but didn't elaborate on why he did it like he did and to what extent he was following, you know, state directives in doing that. So we just thought that this was the result of his normal, you know, surveying methodology. So I don't know what to say about that, just more miscommunication.
Mr. Segura?
I'm all for helping you, industry, and while protecting the state's interests, and but it seems and I know you all are experienced, but in any assignment, you have to do your due diligence, and I know things slip through the cracks and there's confusion, but also when you do have an assignment and you accept the assets in those assignments, you also have to accept that sometimes you may accept some trash that you didn't know about. I mean, much like title. And so, but I think the state's made an effort to bat this back and forth and nail it down, not necessarily to penalize you, but just to say what's what. And I'm prepared for another motion, but I'm not going to be able to go with the respectfully.
Any further discussion on the motion on the floor? Mr. Ingram's motion, and as seconded by Ms. Smith. Okay, we call for the vote on the motion. Mr. Ingram's motion. All in favor? Mr. Ingram and Ms. Smith are in favor. All in opposition? Motion fails.
Okay. I'd like
Mr. Segura.
I'd like to present.
Mr. Segura.
I'd like to present a motion to have the amount be 50% of the $91,600, which would be $45,800.
Second, the motion is seconded by Mr. Arnold. We're open for discussion of the motion. Any discussion?
That's Mr. Quist, Rick, is this $91,000 or what? Or $71,000?
That's the discrepancy. Our calculation.
The wrong description.
And I'm not. I'm just saying the way we calculate it, we calculate it as $91,600. That's all I can say.
Any further?
So I said $45,800.
Any further discussion? Chair calls for a vote on the motion. All in favor of the motion? Any opposition to the motion? Mr. Ingram registers opposition. Ms. Smith, Rick?
No, I don't.
You don't? Oh, I'm sorry. Any other opposition other than Mr. Ingram? Motion passes. Thank you. Thank you for the lively discussion. Thank you for your appearance this morning, sir.
And I thank you.
Okay.
You ready, sir?
Are you ready for another lively
Absolutely.
Discussion?
We can move on here.
You want another lively discussion?
We want okay. some more challenges this morning.
What item number three is a request by Key Operating to modify the terms but not the percentage split of a compromise involving Little White Lake and state leases 17208, 16995, 17226, 19641. Let me give you some background on this. Little White Lake is a body of water that is inland of Vermilion Bay. It has eroded to the point right now where Vermilion Bay pretty much enters into Little White Lake, and it looks like it's a part of the shoreline, at least so the state contends. There have been a number of Exxon is the fee owner of a large portion of Little White Lake, and there have been a number of compromises in the past with Exxon on portions of Little White Lake that it owns that were leased and may have had production. But a few years, about 3 years ago, the state decided that rather than piecemeal this particular area, that it wanted to enter into a full compromise on all of the portion of Little White Lake that Exxon owned. There is production in Little White Lake. There is a unit that includes portions of those three leases, or all of those three leases, and the production has been held in an interest-bearing account, and I believe it amounts to over $1 million. Is that correct? I don't know. $2 million? Okay. $2 million. About 2 years ago, the state had agreed, and Exxon had agreed to a compromise position in Little White Lake that gave the state 65% and Exxon 35%. That was agreed upon. The only thing left to do was to confect an agreement itself, put it together, advertise it, and everybody bless it. That went on for 2 years. The problem is the attorney that originally represented Exxon left, and about four or five different attorneys came through Exxon, and each one of them had to familiarize themselves with the circumstances surrounding this settlement. And the last one had this problem, which I understand. The acreage of the unit itself has been surveyed, and the acreage of the unit is where the money comes from. The $2 million held in interest-bearing account comes from that unit production. There is also acreage that is outside of the unit on which there is no production and which has not been surveyed. What Exxon did not want to do is enter into a compromise without knowing what the acreage was and the description of the acreage that was being compromised. There had been no surveys of the acreage outside the unit,
And so they could not establish how much acreage was outside the unit, nor what the exact descriptions were. So we met with the Exxon's attorney not too long ago, a couple of weeks, a week. And the way that Exxon wants to proceed with this is to do a compromise agreement that, first of all, establishes the acreage that's in the unit and agree to that settlement, and the money will be released. Okay? And then the second part of that compromise is to allow 6 months to have the rest of the acreage of the compromise established as to description and acreage, which will be an agreement by both Exxon and the state. The way it will be done is, rather than send a surveyor out, which will be extremely expensive, to use aerial photographs, the best that they can be used, the best that we can get, and digitize the shorelines of the lake, those portions that are part of this settlement, then plenometer that and obtain the acreage that is to be compromised. Then both parties get together, the ones that do those, and they both agree as to how it was done, what the description would be, and what the acreage would be. And in 6 months, the description would be attached to the compromise as an exhibit with the amount of acreage. And that would be a final compromise of the acreage that's in Little White Lake. What we're waiting for, why it's 6 months and not right now, is we have right now aerial photographs that are vintage 2008. There's supposed to be some vintage 2010 aerial photographs coming out, and we would like to use the 2000. We don't know when they're coming out. We would like to use the 2010 photographs if we can. But what is being proposed is that if it looks like during that 6 month period that we're getting close to it, we don't have the 2000 or can't get the 2010, that we use the 2008 aerial photographs to digitize the shoreline, get the description and the acreage. That's what's being proposed today. The percentage will not change. The percentage is what the state agreed upon over 2 years ago, which is 65% state, 35% Exxon on the money that is already there and any further production. The only thing that is being asked right now is that they be allowed to, on the acreage that's not exact in both description and amount, to be able to do the best they can to find out what that acreage is, to use it in the compromise so that they will know what acreage has been compromised for future purposes.
Mr. Segura?
Is that method sufficient? I mean, considering these squabbles we get in on, you know,
well, if it's done by both parties, and both parties participate in obtaining that description and acreage and agree upon it, then there won't be any squabbles in the future, because the only parties that have an interest in it are Exxon and the state. And so that'll settle that compromise area for any future use, any future leasing. And I will also tell you that if this is agreed upon by the board, we'll probably have an agreement drafted, advertised, and ready, hopefully, for next month, so that the money can be released.
That's going to cut off that 8.5% interest we have on that certificate of deposit, I guess. As opposed to 0.50 basis point, half a basis point.
Is that true? It's probably true.
Any further discussion? All in favor, y'all ready to take a motion?
Yes. There are the attorney who is representing ILSC Key Operating is Jim Bates, and the attorney representing Exxon, the in-house attorney representing Exxon.
We certainly want to get that on the record.
We're simply here in case y'all had any questions.
And your name for the record, please?
Jim Bates.
And your
India Delpit.
Thank you.
And then both Key and Exxon are acceptable to this?
Yes.
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Mr. Segura, second. Ready for discussion on the motion. Any discussion on the motion? I have a question.
Certainly.
we're not setting ourselves up for any kind of a trap deal by taking the money now and then fighting over the description. We still have the description dispute.
No, the money is, the description is not, the description of the unit itself is not in question. That is fixed. And that is the acreage that the money comes from. So that's not a dispute. What's in dispute is the acreage that's outside of that producing unit, for which there is no production and no money right now, but maybe future.
Yes, sir. And both parties are agreeable to either use the 2010 maps.
Correct.
Or alternatively the 2008 right. maps. And whatever those maps show, confect or demonstrate, confect an agreement. Is that the
That is protocol? Correct. If we can get the 2010 before the end of that six-month period, we'll use that. If not, the 2008.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposition? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Heck. Can I move on to the next one, please, sir?
Item number four is a request by staff for authority to nominate some acreage in Saline Bayou for a mineral lease with special language. The problem, let me present the problem here. The acres that is being requested to put up for lease is in a producing unit, but it is not recognized as state acreage by the operator of the unit, and so the state is not being paid any royalty on it.
Well, that won't work.
So the staff is requesting that they be allowed to put the acreage up for a lease. The problem is this. There is language in the lease that says that when a lessee obtains a lease in acreage that has been producing, then that lessee is liable for the royalty paid from date of first production.
Yes.
So when the party buys the lease, they're going to come in and owe a royalty immediately for past production. That is in our lease form. We would put specific language in the advertisement when we advertise this for a lease that would refer to the state lease language mandating that.
Can we just hold this a moment? I'm informed that it's 11 o'clock and we have to take
sure.
a break. Take our good. We all want to go ahead and finish this. Do you have something else? We're not rushing.
No.
On that. Okay.
But anyway, that's the what the staff would request the board authorize them to do is put this up for a lease in June, I think is the earliest date we could do it, and put that special language in notifying any lessee, prospective lessee, that they would be owing a royalty from date of first production.
Now you pronounce this S-A-L-I-N-E. How do you pronounce that?
Saline Bayou.
Okay. And where is this located? That's in North Louisiana, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Do I have a motion?
Booth accepts staff's recommendation.
Second.
Do I have a second? Did I hear a second? Who?
Mr. Segura.
Mr. Segura, second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Motion carries.
Okay.
Booth recess. Motion?
Second.
Okay, we're at recess. I believe they call it Saline Bayou.
I'm open to any suggestions. Saline is as good as saline.
Saline. That's the solution you cleanse things with.
Well, okay. We're going to go ahead and call the the board meeting to order. Mr. Vice Chair will be sitting in as the chair.
I want to call this mental board meeting to order. Roll call.
I will do the roll call. Scott Onichel. Paul Segura.
Here.
Mr. Tom Arnold.
Present.
Mr. Emil Cordero.
Here.
Mr. John Juba Diaz. Mr. Bay Ingram.
Here.
Mr. Robert Morton.
Here.
Mr. Tom Sanders.
Here.
Mr. Dal Smith. Ms. Helen Smith.
Here.
Mr. Jack Graves. Okay. Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Good. Thank you. At this time, we'll handle item two, which is the election of the chairman. I would like to say that although he's not here, Secretary Angel has been our chairman for several years. He's done an excellent job as our chairman and given us good leadership. Even though he's not here, I would like to nominate him as to continue as chairman.
Ingram, second.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Unanimous
second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
And for the record, we have a item in your packet. It is a letter from the governor's office dated February 26, that in accordance with Title 30, Section 121, regulating the state mineral energy board, the governor may designate the board to elect a chairman in his place. The governor, by this letter, through his special assistant, did notify the board that he would not be serving as the chair and would like the board to proceed as necessary by electing the chair. So just for the record, thank you all very much.
I believe we also need to elect a vice chair as well.
Yes, that's correct.
I'd like to nominate Paul Segura to continue on as vice chairman.
I'm having trouble hearing your motion.
Nominate Mr. Paul Segura as vice chair.
Second.
Any further questions or comments?
None.
Anyone opposed?
None.
Our motion carries.
That's a 6 month term or 6 year term?
Paid.
It's under the new statute.
All right. Item 3, approval of the March 10th, 2010 minutes. Do we have a motion for approval of those minutes?
Motion, Ms. Smith.
Motion by Ms. Smith. Second by?
Sanders.
And Mr. Sanders. All in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, let's handle item 4, A, B, and C. Do you have a motion to accept the recommendations of the committees of the lease review, the nomination committee, and the audit committees?
Second.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. Smith. All in favor? All opposed? Aye. That motion carries. This time, I would like to entertain a motion to recess the regular meeting and go back into the legal and title controversy committee meeting.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Ms. Smith. All in favor? All opposed? We are recessed the regular meeting. Mr. Sanders?
We'll resume our
legal
and title controversy committee. Mr. Heck.
Item number 5 is a request for final approval of an operating agreement for the Harvest Group, which was approved in principle to negotiate the operating agreement previously by the board. The operating agreement has been negotiated, confected, signed, and advertised, and is now on the docket as item 10-10 for final approval, and the staff does recommend final approval.
Per the staff's recommendations, do we have a motion to approve item 5, staff recommendation?
Motion.
I move.
Mr. Segura moves to accept staff recommendation on item 5.
I'll second.
Mr. Arnold, second. Do we have any discussion? Any opposition? Motion carries unanimously.
Item number 6 is a request for final approval of a lease amendment by between the state of Louisiana and ExxonMobil to change the, this is on lease, state lease 14031, and it's the amendment was to change the royalty from 20 to 21% in that portion of the lease which was in the ExxonMobil Corporation Grand Isle Block 16 Voluntary Unit A. This was done so that the portion of the lease to be included in the unit, the royalty would be commensurate with the other leases within that unit. And so the staff does recommend that the board approve this lease amendment. It has been confected, signed, executed, and advertised properly and is on the docket as item 10-11.
What's the pleasure of the board?
I move.
Mr. Segura moves if we accept staff recommendation as to item number 6.
Second.
Arnold, second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Unanimous. Carry.
Item number 7 is a request for final approval of an operating agreement by Stone Energy. This, again, was previously approved to negotiate by the board. The document itself was confected, signed, executed, and properly advertised.
and is on the docket as item number 10-14, and the staff does recommend final approval.
What's your pleasure?
I move to accept.
Mr. Segura moves.
Second.
Mr. Arnold seconds. Any discussion? Any opposition? Motion carries.
Item number 8 is a request for final approval of a consent judgment and compromise agreement by and between the State of Louisiana and Devon Production Company, which is the successor to Pennzoil Exploration and Production. This was a lawsuit filed for non-payment of gas royalty or underpayment of gas royalty. This has been going on for quite a while. The board has received the offer of settlement, which was accepted. The document itself was prepared and executed, and the state received $975,000 in payment of the claim, and the final document is properly advertised and on the docket as number 10-15, and the staff does recommend final approval.
Chair will entertain a motion. Mr. Ingram.
Mr. Heck, how much did you say the state had received?
$975,000.
Good.
I move to accept.
Mr. Segura moves to accept the staff recommendation. Second. Mr. Ingram, second. Discussion? Any opposition? Motion carries unanimously.
Item number 9 is a request for final approval of a division order compromise agreement by and between the State of Louisiana, Hillcore Energy, and a number of other parties. Excuse me. This involves a tract which is in the 7RN unit, which has a number of areas that are being claimed by private parties, but this particular one, the staff has gone over this with the Attorney General's office and the land office. We have looked at it. We do it as a division order because what's compromised is the production and not the title. And so the staff, the actual outcome of this is a 50-50 split. And so the state does recommend that this item, which is on the docket, properly advertised as item 10-16, be finally approved by the board.
Did I understand it's a compromise of production and not title?
Correct. What the state always does, is compromise only production, because rather than give away land if we don't have to, we'll compromise a particular area and just say that all production coming from this area is divided such and such. And so that saves a problem.
I move approval.
Ms. Smith moves.
Second.
Mr. Cadera, second. Any opposition to state's recommendation on item 9? Motion carries unanimously.
Okay. Item number 10 is a request by the staff for the board to approve an amendment to an existing memorandum of understanding between the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, which covers activities in the coastal zone. The original amendment was back from February of 2005. You should have a copy, I think, of the amendment to that memorandum of understanding. And the amendment particularly pertains to pristine oyster seed beds and any activity that would be, and notices that are to be given when leases or activity in that area. And this has been gone over quite a bit between Wildlife and Fisheries and the Department of Natural Resources, and both of them are in agreement as to the amendment. It has been confected. It is, and the board, it needs the board approval.
What's on my watch? I received this a day or two ago, and I don't know a thing about it.
Okay.
And it looks complex. Matter of fact, it looks very complex.
It does. It establishes a tiered area for activity in oyster areas.
Yes, sir, I see that.
And what activity can be accomplished in those tiered areas, and what cannot be accomplished, and what notice has to be given. All I can tell you, other than reading it line by line and trying to explain it, is to tell you that what it provides for is protects the pristine oyster seed beds, and the tiered area is only to designate which areas are the quote unspoiled pristine areas, and then there are areas where there are some activity, and then there are areas where there is more activity.
Mr. Sanders, just real quick, for point of information, this modified memorandum of agreement was just recently executed, so that's why folks are just hearing about it. It obviously pleasure of the board. It can be deferred, and we can make a presentation to the board, provide some additional information, those sorts of things. Whatever would be the pleasure of the board.
Well, don't misinterpret my comments about just receiving it. I don't know anything about this controversy. It's very difficult to vote on something that I don't have any knowledge about.
Right.
Are there some potential penalties to the state and liabilities to the state if we have a dispute about violating some of the terms of this?
No. This is not really a dispute. What it does is, Wildlife and Fisheries is, of course, tasked with protecting things like oyster seed beds and wildlife, okay?
I'm familiar.
And what they want is when the state, the Department of Natural Resources, through the board, gives a mineral lease in these areas, the type of activity that oil companies can do to explore and develop those minerals is going to be limited by what Wildlife and Fisheries sets up as guidelines as to how they can operate. And that's all this amendment does. It sets up guidelines in different areas, different stringencies of guidelines, if you will, as to how a lessee can operate to actually produce mineral, you know, to operate under his mineral lease and still protect the environment. There's not a penalty to the board or to the Department of Natural Resources.
Let me see if I can help explain and provide some information
on
this.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. What this amended MOU does between DNR and Wildlife and Fisheries is it provides a process on how we're going to coordinate with one another with regard to these various sea grounds, in particular with regard to what is referred to in that document as Tier 1 oyster sea grounds. Those are the most sensitive of oyster sea grounds. Initially, Wildlife and Fisheries had proposed and had sent a letter to the Secretary of the Mineral Board back in 2008 requesting that this board not issue mineral leases in these areas, which would have essentially resulted in a drilling ban of over 80,000 acres. The administration at DNR, including myself, took exception to this. We commenced negotiations with the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries and with the Governor's Office of Coastal Activities to see if we could not come up with some balancing process so that we can, in Louisiana, we believe we can have it all. We can protect oyster resources. We can explore and produce our natural resource, our mineral resources also at the same time. And so what we had proposed to Wildlife and Fisheries was a balanced approach where we would, in these sensitive oyster sea grounds, we would have perhaps different rules. Different rules would apply, and those rules would be more use of corridors through these sea grounds. So you'd have a lane, perhaps, through the sea ground, and then use of directional drilling. And the onus that this puts on the department, specifically with regard to the Mineral Board, is when we issue leases in these Tier 1 oyster sea grounds, is to put folks on notice that they may have different rules applied when you go to get your coastal use permit for to be able to operate, to be able to place your rig, to be able to dredge in those sorts of things. What we did not want to have happen is these different rules would apply, but on the other hand, the state is issuing these leases and is not providing notice to folks who may be bidding and ultimately getting these leases. So it is to provide a level of transparency. It is to then make sure that there's a coordinated effort between the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries and DNR. So we have both, you know, the right arm and the left arm all motioning in the same direction. So that is what this particular MOU, this amendment to the MOU, is designed to do.
The only reason I asked the question or raised the question, as a lawyer recalling years ago all this high-powered litigation and hundreds of millions of dollars awards to Orcher people, I don't think it stood up in the final analysis, but I'm wondering throwing out a big word here. We're creating a stipulation pour tree in favor of the oyster people by entering into this agreement. These are just lawyer talk here. Are we creating something? I'm just throwing it out there.
Yes.
Are we creating something that is potentially going to bite us?
I do not believe so at all.
I'm not sure there are any oyster leases on those seed beds.
No, this is.
So there wouldn't be the same problems that you had with that, what you're talking about. What you're talking about was when coastal projects supposedly damaged oyster leases that were given by wildlife and fisheries. Well, these are seed beds that I don't think have any oyster leases on them. These are to provide oysters for seed for areas to be seeded to produce oysters where they will give leases. So I don't think the same problems will arise.
Well, right. My comments are not derogatory to anybody. I'm just looking for information.
Right.
Charged with our duty.
And if there are any questions I can help with you on this, happy to do so.
Mr. Ingram desires to be recognized.
Correct. That's what those Tier 1 areas are. They are the most sensitive of the culture seed beds. Correct.
Yes, sir. At the end of the day, what we did was we negotiated agreement between Wildlife and Fisheries and DNR. Then we vetted that agreement with industry folks and oyster industry folks. Yes, sir. Well, when you say oil industry, you know, the majority, I mean, I don't want to speak for all every particular entity in the oil and gas industry. It is absolutely substantial progress in this area. I would liken it to, you know, we were on the 2-yard line. We were fixing to get sacked for a safety, but we threw a pass and we got to the 50. Now we didn't throw the bomb and make the touchdown, but we moved the ball down the field a long way.
All right, we're ready for them. Do we have a motion?
Would you like to postpone it? Would you go back?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
I think we're ready for a motion. Okay. I am.
We don't have a motion on the floor.
Do you want one?
I would make a motion.
With pleasure of the board.
I would make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation.
Ms. Smith has moved.
A second.
For a second. Now we're open for some more discussion. Any further discussion?
Ms. Sanders, I'm
Arnold.
Are your questions fully answered, or would you rather?
My questions are fully answered. This is my first touch on this.
That's right. If you need 30 more days, I think we can get it to you.
No, sir. I'm fine. Any other board member have any need to defer this? Is there any? Are we ready to vote on it? Hearing no, or we have any objection to the motion? No objection, the motion carries.
The last item is a discussion in executive session of litigation entitled Davis Petroleum Corporation versus State of Louisiana et al. And we need a motion to go into executive session.
I move.
Second.
Okay.
Executive session. Do we still have stipulations for?
Yes.
I'm a happy girl again.
The little lady from the interview, she wanted to talk to us a lot.
Yes.
Yes, sir. On item number 11, after discussion in executive session, the staff does recommend that the board approve in principle the settlement offer of the plaintiff parties in the suit entitled Petroleum Corporation versus State of Louisiana et al., subject to, of course, the confection of a document and the execution of that document and proper advertising.
I move the staff recommendation.
Mr. Arnold moves.
Second.
Mr. Segura, the vice chairman, seconds. Do we have any discussion? Any discussion?
Y'all get that on the record.
Any opposition to the motion? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Hank.
Apparently, Mr. Segura carries weight. Nobody opposed.
there are no other items on the agenda.
Thank you, sir. Motion to adjourn. Thank you. We're in the opposition to adjournment. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
That's
I will have a little levity along the way. Boy, life is serious.
Are you
on? Yeah, yes.
I'll have to call a doctor if you come in to meet the order.
Who's going to chair this one?
Is he the...
Okay, good morning. The staff of Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources have reviewed those items requiring board approval for the April 14th, 2010 Docket Review Committee and recommends the following. For Category A, State Agency Leases, please approve item number 1 and item number 2. For Category B, State Lease Transfers, please approve item number 1 through item number 29. Item 30, approve, subject to the approval of the Governor of Louisiana. Please approve items 31 and 32. For Category C, Advertised Proposals, please approve item number 1 through item number 8. And item number 9, approved subject to the approval of form and legality. And this completes the staff's recommendations to the Docket Review Committee.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion to accept staff's recommendations?
Sanders moves.
Mr. Sanders?
Second.
Second Segura? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. The ayes have it. Do I have a motion to adjourn Docket Review Committee? Sanders?
Second.
Second Segura? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Docket Review Committee is closed.
All right. At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to reconvene the regular board meeting. Move by Mr. Arnold. Second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor? All opposed? We are back in regular session. At this time, I'd like to adopt the committee recommendations for item 4D and E, the Legal Entitled Controversy Committee and the Docket Review Committee. I have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Martin. Any discussion, questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Those items and those committees are adopted. Now we're going to go into the executive session to get our technical briefing. Do I have a motion?
Sanders move.
Motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We're in recess for our technical briefing. We will return shortly. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
was noon.
All right. At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to reconvene the regular meeting. Come out of technical. Move by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor? All opposed? We're back in regular session. Mr. Vaughn, could you read the
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Recommendation.
First track 41354. We're recommending that the bid of Gemini Exploration be rejected for insufficient consideration, and that the staff, the board, will re-advertise this track with minimums.
Okay.
Track number 41355. We're recommending to accept the bid of Merlin Oil and Gas Incorporated. On track number 41365. We're recommending to reject the track, the bid of Davis Petroleum Corporation for insufficient consideration, and that this track be re-advertised with minimums. It was advertised with a minimum royalty of 20.5%, 23%, and Davis Petroleum bid 20.5%. Track number 41385, we're recommending to accept a bid of Classic Petroleum Incorporated. On 41386, we're recommending to accept a bid of Questar E&P. On 41387, we're recommending to accept a bid of Classic Petroleum. On track number 41388, we're recommending to accept a bid of Classic Petroleum. On 41389, we're recommending to accept a bid of Classic Petroleum. On 41390, we're recommending to accept a bid of Questar E&P Company. On 41391, we're recommending to accept a bid of Classic Petroleum. Track number 41392, we're recommending to accept the bid of Questar E&P Company. On track number 41393, we're recommending to accept the bid of Classic Petroleum. On 41394, we're recommending to accept the bid of Questar E&P Company, and recognizing that the rental that they bid was not half, and the lease will be granted that with the rental being at least half of the bonus paid. On track number 41395, we're recommending to accept the bid of Classic Petroleum. As to the remaining tracks receiving bids, we're recommending that those bids be accepted. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions or discussions on the staff's recommendation of the awarding of those particular leases?
Second.
Without any, Mr. Arnold makes a motion to accept those recommendations to award the leases, and we have a second by Mr. Sanders. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Those leases are awarded. Item 7 is an adoption of a special resolution. For Ms. Monique Edwards, who's here, and
she's hiding in the back.
I didn't recognize her with her new hairdo. Her new do.
We recognized Monique at the last meeting, but we have an official resolution, which we have a motion from Mr. Sanders. And
seconded by all,
I believe, where it says, whereas Monique M. Edwards, a graduate of St. Mary's Dominican College and Southern University Law Center, began her service in the Department of Natural Resources with her appointment as its executive counsel effective July 1st, 2004. And whereas Ms. Edwards served with honor, distinction, and perspicacity in the position advising the Secretary Scott Angel regarding matters of policy and administration, and acting as primary legislative liaison with the Louisiana State Legislature, most notably as a primary developer and mover of Act 312, providing a procedural scheme for environmental cleanup of oil field sites in Louisiana. And whereas Ms. Edwards accepted the appointment of Assistant Secretary of the Office of Mineral Resources, a division of the Department of Natural Resources, by Governor Bobby Jindal on June 25, 2009, and was confirmed in that position by the Louisiana State Legislature. And whereas, during her all-too-brief tenure as Assistant Secretary and as Secretary to the Louisiana State Mineral Board by virtue of that position, Ms. Edwards exhibited great insight into the workings of the board in its capacity as the primary vehicle for mineral leasing of lands belonging to the state of Louisiana, or title to which in the public domain, and the Office of Mineral Resources as agency which administers those leases, and further exhibiting tireless initiative in striving to make service by the office to the public clientele more comprehensive, efficient, and informative. And whereas, utilizing her intimate knowledge of the workings of the Louisiana State Legislature and her earned respect from the members of that august body, Ms. Edwards was instrumental in seeing that legislation beneficial to the state of Louisiana and its constituency, as well as the Department of Natural Resources, was proposed, filed, shepherded, enacted, and signed into law such that the citizens of Louisiana will continue to reap the benefits. And whereas, at all times and in all situations, Ms. Edwards conducted her relations with legislative members, employees of the Department of Natural Resources and the Office of Mineral Resources, other state agencies, representatives of industries doing business in the state of Louisiana, state of national leaders, and first and foremost, the public clientele, with dignity of demeanor, integrity of character, depth of wisdom, a principled ethic, and a graciousness of manner which has served to commend her person as one of the highest regards and esteemed value to the state of Louisiana. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Louisiana State Mineral Board and each and every member thereof does herein and hereby desire to express its deep and abiding appreciation for effort expended by Monique M. Edwards in her desire to fulfill the service required by the position of Assistant Secretary of the Office of Mineral Resources and its dependent position of Secretary of the Louisiana State Mineral Board, and to thank her for rising so selflessly to rigors entailed therein. Be it further resolved that the state of Louisiana is indebted to Monique M. Edwards for the benefits it has reaped and will continue to reap from her tireless devotion to the duties and obligations inherent in government service. Thank you, Monique.
Thank you. I guess you should have the moment where I am speechless. I am truly humbled and speechless for this, and I thank you.
Could you identify yourself for the record?
Monique Edwards, private citizen.
Why don't you come up and I'll present you with the resolution.
Thank you so much, Monique.
Thank you, Monique, for your service, but also your friendship. All right. At this time, item 8, the SCR 146 support resolution.
Yes. Would you and Secretary of the Mineral Board, I apologize on behalf of Secretary Angel. He was, chairman was, intending to be here to have a discussion on this straw man of a resolution that picks up on the on the presentation that he made during the last mineral board meeting, whereby he provided information to you all with regard to the activities of oil and gas exploration and production in Louisiana, with regard to mineral income on state-owned properties. He discussed the various trends, if you remember, and one of the things, you know, getting to the brass tacks from the presentation he made last month, South Louisiana is anemic. The state of Louisiana is owner of land and minerals. Is primarily an owner of its property is primarily located in South Louisiana and within the coastal zone. So, in order to spur additional activity, in order to increase mineral income to the state, we had a discussion with the board last time about what are some things we can do. The purpose of this straw man is just simply that. It is a straw man. It's not intended that we act upon this today. It is to initiate discussion on what the board may want to do. The board in the past has provided tremendous leadership that has resulted in substantial mineral income coming into this state. And we, you know, times are difficult. We are in significant budget deficits. The upcoming fiscal years do not look very good. It is incumbent upon us if we can generate some additional revenues to ease that pain, to provide for the welfare of the citizens, then that's some leadership that Secretary Orangell believes that this board should follow. And he wants to have a discussion, a rapport with you all, and come to and ultimately finalize a resolution that this board would think would be that this board would deem appropriate under the circumstances to generate additional mineral income for the state of Louisiana. So, when you look at this straw man, we have included, and the staff has done a fantastic job in putting this thing together. Of course, the essential mineral income is essential to the growth. Oil and gas exploration is essential to the growth of this state. We need to have continued development. The continued development will result in significantly stimulating the economy in Louisiana. When you look at the forecasted budget deficits, as you can see in the whereas clauses, we're approximately $1.3 billion. Looking at a $1.3 billion deficit for fiscal year 2010-2011. When you look at, also, we have to consider there's mineral, you know, severance tax and royalty. 20% of the severance tax, up to $850,000, goes to our parishes. 10% of that royalty goes to parishes. For the most part, other than the parishes up in North Louisiana and participating in Haynesville Shale, our local governments are suffering from budget deficits. And you look at the five fiscal years for mineral income to parishes, you're looking at $438,004,960. When you look at, and one thing that's interesting, and Secretary Orangell hit on this when he made the presentation, the whole investment dynamic in Louisiana with regard to development of mineral resources has changed, and it has changed with regard to the resource plays in this country. And when you look at, and he went through some of those pros and cons of participating in the Haynesville Shale, and there are some definite pros with regard, and it's those pros that have made those plays very attractive, apparently, for investors. A lot of the investment money is going into these resource plays, into the Haynesville Shale type of developments. When you have as many rigs as there are up in North Louisiana, and you've yet to hit a dry hole, and when you produce at fairly rapid rates, and you're able to recoup your investment, the folks on Wall Street, they like that. And so consequently, the investment dynamic is completely different than it was 5, 10 years ago. So do we need to do something considering the situation that the state is in, considering the difference in the investment dynamics to generate additional mineral income for the state of Louisiana that will result in easing the burden on education, health care, public safety? And that's what this resolution is about. And it is to initiate discussion and debate that ultimately will result in a policy that this board would issue via resolution to seek to enhance the mineral income to the state of Louisiana. So what we have right now, getting to the meat of this straw man of a resolution, it would provide some royalty relief. So it first looks at wells that would be between 15 and 20,000 feet, and it would start off where the board would signal it would be willing in the coastal zone to accept initial royalty of 1/6 of production until 5 BCF equivalents of gas would be produced. And then it would go to 18.75% royalty for remainder of three-year royalty relief period. wells on the inland tracks that are spudded and drilled at least to 20,000 feet, the primary term could be extended by the board 4 or 5 years. For wells that have obtained production in paying quantities below 20,000 feet, the board would indicate a willingness to accept royalties of 12.5 for first production until 5 BCF equivalents of gas, and then 18.75 royalty for the remainder of a five-year royalty relief period. And the lease royalty, then it would go to the normal lease royalty for the remainder of the lease term. And then also for wells drilled to 25,000 feet or greater during the primary term may be extended an additional 2 years. This allows the bidders who desire to take advantage of royalty relief incentive to proffer the above stated terms in the additional consideration spaces on the bid form. Also offers other terms that those in the that are stated in the other than those that are stated in the resolution. Board would still be able to accept proffers that it terms most advantageous to the state under this resolution. So we've also provided some additional information for your consideration. I won't go through all of that here, but the information is in your packets. We've laid out a notice to lessees and operators on federal oil and gas leases on the OCS, where the feds are providing some royalty relief. And we've provided some statistics. Many of these statistics, well, in fact, all of these statistics are statistics that Secretary Orangel discussed with you during our last meeting, except perhaps maybe the income to the parishes. I'm thinking perhaps we did not have that information available. We did not present that information during the last board meeting. It would be anticipated that over the next 30, 60 days or so, we would have discussion at subsequent board meetings prior to there being a motion to adopt a resolution. We want to this is just the start of the process. We want to get information from the folks who would may be interested in participating, get some of their thoughts and ideas. So we have a target. Now we need to hone in. So at this point, I'll shut up and let some of the smart people. I'll let the smart people on the board talk.
Okay.
no, what I'd like
I think
to
you're out of order.
Right. I'd like to add. I'm Cajun dyslexic, but did you know too that, as we discussed earlier, that this proposal is only to last for 3 years and then can be
correct. When discussing this with staff, I mean, certainly the economic conditions of the state can change, both from, you know, with our efforts to cut spending, with our efforts to generate revenues by stimulating the economy in other manners. So, and also commodity prices can change. So there's a limited amount of, the further you go out, you get into too many unknowns. The balance here, though, is you have to make a long enough commitment for folks to put up the investment dollars to obtain the leases, do the seismic, and then move forward to produce those leases. So the balance at this point, based on the discussion and information we had, was a three-year term of this resolution. Okay?
Does anyone have any questions or discussion? If not, no, he just wanted to present it today, and we'll talk about it some more and possibly adopt it in the future.
Let me make also clear. This is not a proposed legislative resolution. This will be a board resolution only. And what this resolution would be doing is signaling, okay, historically, this board has not accepted bids for 12.5% royalty, okay? Because of the dynamics and that we discussed earlier, what this resolution would do would signal a change with regard to bids in the coastal zone due to these circumstances. Right. Okay. And certainly, if you have any questions, be happy to answer them. If after looking over some of this information, please give me a holler. Love to talk with you all more about this.
And there is a specific area that's designated as the coastal zone already.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Okay. Yes.
We will post that. We absolutely will post that out. We did not want to post that prior to presenting it to the board, though.
All right. If there's no further questions, is there any public comments or any announcements?
Yes, sir. We have a total cash payments for April 14, 2010. $3,471,860.47 for fiscal year to date cash payments. We have $53,523,539.37.
Great. Thank you. Is there any further discussion or anything? Any other business? If not, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn. Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Ingram. All in favor? All opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you, and we'll see you at our next month's meeting.
Thank you. Good job.